For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. One of the books that we are reading a lot to our kids these days at bedtime is a book called The Thank You Book. Our kids love it. It's about a piggy and an elephant who are the very best of friends. The book starts off with Piggy confidently declaring to Elephant, "I am going to thank everyone who is important to me." "Everyone?" the elephant asks. You see, Elephant is concerned that Piggy will accidentally leave someone out in her attempt to thank everyone. But Piggy stands her ground and says emphatically, "I will thank everyone. It will be a thank-o-rama." And Piggy kicks off her thank-o-rama by expressing her gratitude to her friends, the squirrels. They always give her such great ideas. Then she thanks a snake for playing ball with her. Next, she thanks a pigeon for never giving up. At this point, Elephant taps Piggy on the shoulder and expresses his concern yet again. "Piggy, you're going to forget someone really important." But Piggy just shrugs off Elephant's concern and continues. "Mouse, birdies, rhino, hippo's big sister, hippo, worms. Thank you all for being such great friends." Piggy is out to prove that she is a thanking machine. But Elephant once again is worried that Piggy will forget to thank someone really important. And this leads us, the readers, to suspect that perhaps Elephant's feelings are getting hurt because Elephant is Piggy's very best friend, after all, but Elephant still hasn't gotten his thank you yet, while others have. And we just assumed that Elephant would be number one on Piggy's thank-o-rama list, right, if they're best friends. Well, this time, at least, Piggy doesn't shrug off Elephant's concern when it comes to leaving someone important out. And she tells Elephant that her next thank you is going to be a big one, leading us to believe that Elephant will finally get the big thank you that he deserves. But Piggy doesn't thank Elephant. No, she ends up thanking a big whale instead. That's what she meant by the big thank you. And after that, Piggy thanks a penguin who sells ice cream, a cat who is a doctor, a bat named Brian, and some flies. At this point, Elephant just can't stand it anymore. He shouts out that Piggy has definitely, definitely forgotten someone important. But right as Piggy cries out that she can't think of anyone else to thank, the light bulb finally goes off. "Oops," she says. "I goofed." And she finally thanks Elephant. "Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the best friend a pig can ever have." But to Piggy's surprise, Elephant says that he wasn't upset that she had forgotten about him. No, no. Elephant was upset because Piggy forgot to thank us, the readers of the story. We didn't realize that, in Elephant's mind at least, we were a part of the story all along. And the book basically ends with both Piggy and Elephant turning to us to thank us, the readers, because we took the time to read about their friendship. At the beginning, we only thought that we were spectators, but by the end, we discover that we've been characters in this little story all along. And what initially seemed like a simple little children's story about a piggy and an elephant has now become a story that we, the readers, are a part of. My friends, something similar is happening in our gospel reading for today as well. What initially seemed like a simple parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector has now become a parable that we, the readers, are a part of. In this parable that Jesus tells, a Pharisee and a tax collector go to the temple to pray. Now, Pharisees were some of the most respected leaders, religious leaders at the time, and tax collectors, well, they were some of the least respected members of society at that time because they collected taxes from their own people for the Roman Empire. So tax collectors were seen as sellouts to an oppressive political system. So when the Pharisee gets to the temple, he begins his own version of a thinkorama, just like Piggy. But unlike Piggy, his way of being a thinking machine is a lot less cute or charming. "God, I thank you," he says, "that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I tithe a tenth of my income." But the tax collector, he cannot even lift his eyes up to heaven. All he seems able to do is to cry out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus concludes the parable by saying that it was the tax collector, the traitor, the sellout, who went home justified that day in the eyes of God, not the respected religious leader. When hearing this parable, many of us, I think, will feel pretty confident that we've got the moral of the story fairly well pegged. The point of this parable seems glaringly obvious to us, does it not? Don't be like the judgmental Pharisee. Be like the humble tax collector. Nailed it. And we'll all go home feeling justified, since we pretty much have it all figured out, don't we? But what if this wasn't Jesus' point in telling us this parable? What if we've missed it? Question for you. How have you been, in your own mind, how have you been responding to the Pharisees' actions this morning? Has your response to him been any different than his response to the tax collector? Were you thankful that, unlike the Pharisee, you are somebody who gets it, who gets what church and spirituality and Jesus' movement of love is really all about? Did the Pharisee remind you of someone you know that you are thankful that you're not like? Or did you secretly pray that the most pharisaical person in this sanctuary would pay attention to this gospel reading, to this sermon even, because you know that they need to hear this message, whereas you really don't need it because, again, you've got this whole Christianity thing pretty much figured out? Correct me if I am wrong here, but if we respond to this parable by thanking God that we are not like the guy who thanks God that he's not like other guys, doesn't this make us the guy? Doesn't this make us the Pharisee? Jesus didn't give this parable to warn us against playing the part of the Pharisee. No, no. Jesus gave us this parable to reveal to us that we already are playing the part of the Pharisee. We are the Pharisee in this story. God, I thank you that I am not like all those people who voted for Trump. I thank you that I'm not like all those people who voted for Biden. God, I thank you that I'm not like those bigoted conservatives. I thank you that I am not like those brainwashed progressives. God, I thank you that I'm not like those baby boomers who destroyed our economy. I thank you that I'm not like those lazy millennials who won't contribute anything to our economy. God, I thank you that I'm not like those baby-hating pro-choice people. I thank you that I'm not like those women-hating pro-life people. God, I thank you that I'm not like all those feminists. I thank you that I'm not like all those misogynists. God, I thank you that I'm not like those people who have rioted in our streets across our country. I thank you that I'm not like those people who rioted at our nation's capital. God, I thank you that I'm not like those nihilistic, non-religious people. I thank you that I'm not like those backwards religious people. My friends, our country is deeply divided right now, perhaps now more than ever. If we don't stop trying to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to others, if we don't stop trying to justify ourselves by villainizing others, everything will continue to remain deeply divided. For the ultimate source of all of this division is not to be found in our systems or our politics or our institutions. The source of all of this division is the human heart. Your heart, my heart, everyone's heart. This is the point of Jesus' parable this morning. Nothing good ever comes when we go around calling out others for playing the part of the judgmental Pharisee, all the while ignoring the Pharisaical role that we've been playing all along. Nothing good ever comes out of focusing on the sins of others more than we focus on our own sin. For when we point the finger at others, there's always three fingers pointing back at us. Years ago, the editors of a newspaper in England sent out a question to several famous English authors. The question was this: what's wrong with the world today? And these authors, they all submitted their lengthy responses for the column. They, like most people today, had plenty of opinions to share when it came to everything that was wrong with the world. But one author, G.K. Chesterton, didn't submit a lengthy response to the question. Instead, in response to the question, "What's wrong with the world today?" he simply wrote, "I am. I am." For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.